Well, I hope week by week, brothers and sisters, as we are listening to the scriptures together, that what I hope to do is bring out and share with you the riches of what you have in Christ. I've come to believe that so much of pastoral ministry and preaching is about opening up the scriptures and saying, look at this incredible grace, these wonderful privileges that God has given you freely in Christ. And they are yours, brothers and sisters, to encourage you, to equip you, to strengthen you for the daily Christian battle. Here are all these wonderful things God has given you. And I think that we've seen in the first section of 1 Peter, that's very much what Peter's saying to the saints and to us. And he's put before us the glorious hope that we have. That we have a certain hope of everlasting life in the kingdom of God. An inheritance incorruptible. And that we will see the Saviour. And that this is a hope just so wonderful, it's worth going through the fires of trials and persecutions for. It's a hope so wonderful, the prophets of old longed to see what we see. And so Peter has been opening up to us this amazing hope that we have for exactly this, just to encourage us, to show us what we have in Christ. And then we saw that in verse 13, from there onwards, there's the beginning of a new focus, that therefore we should be a holy people. Because we have such a great hope, we must live holy lives. As it says in verse 13, it begins with a therefore. Since Christ has saved you, since he has given you such a hope, therefore, you must be holy. Hope should lead to holiness. That's the key connection I just want to see that runs through these verses tonight. Because of the grace we've been given, it must, it should, it will lead to godly living. And of course, it is always this way around, isn't it, in the New Testament? It's not be holy so that you can achieve or earn or be worthy of this glorious inheritance, this glorious hope. It is since you have been freely given by grace such a great salvation, live like it. Hope should lead us to holiness. And as I say, it's that connection in particular of what we have in Christ and who we are, therefore how we should live, that I just want to show you runs through these four verses. If you look first at verse 14, because we have such a special privileged relationship with God that we are his children, therefore live like it. We are children of God. We are obedient children. Therefore, don't be conformed to former sinful lusts. And it's there again, but restated in a different way in verse 15. We have been called by God. Called by God. Therefore, be holy in all your conduct and all your way of life. And it's there again in verse 16. When the Lord says, be holy, for I am holy. Because we are now so closely bound to him, we are his special covenant people, we belong to him, we must reflect him, we must be holy, as our God is holy. So you see, running through there, the same pattern, because of the grace given, because of who you are, therefore live it out. And I just want to suggest that that is very practically helpful for facing the daily spiritual battles, for resisting temptation and fears and how we fight, how we stand is remember who you are in Christ and live like it. That we are within that safe fortress, that mighty fortress of Christ, a secure salvation. And so live like it. If you look at verse 14, when Peter says we are obedient children, understand that he doesn't just mean we should be obedient because we are children. It is stronger than that, this phrase, obedient children. He's saying We are obedient children. God's children are obedient. Obedience to God is one of the characteristics of his children. Their lives are marked and defined by obedience. Being obedient and being a child of God really can't be separated. It's a defining part of what it is to be a child of God. It's a similar kind of vein to when the Apostle John says, "He who is born of God does not sin." There's been a definitive change. Now, we're not sinless and we're not perfect, but there's a definitive change. Or if you help you see that that's what he's saying, the strength of it, think of the opposite. In Ephesians, in chapter 2, Paul says about unbelievers, he calls them sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience. Because disobedience just defines the non-Christian life. Its shape, its very nature is one of disobedience to God, woven into the very fabric of it. And he's saying it, but in the same way, but positively about us. Now this great change has happened. You are obedient children. You're born again of God to be like Christ who lives in you. This has been woven into you. It is what you will ultimately be perfectly. Therefore, because this is your identity, don't be conformed to the old way of life. And you've probably heard it said from other passages, but that word conformed implies that there's pressures on you trying to put you into a certain mold, trying to make your life a certain shape. And boy, we know about that. And we live in such an anti-Christian culture around us that's just trying to shape us on deep levels, our time, our money, our whole way of life, in ways that, how do we begin to resist that? Well, by remembering this first. Who are we? We're obedient children of God, saved by grace, set apart. And so we're not to commit the sins we once did in ignorance. Ignorance in the sense that we didn't once think they were wrong. We were ignorant about God, about holiness, about judgment and truth. But Christ has shown us the light. He's given us true knowledge. So when you feel those habits from the past and old sinful passions and temptations rising up, the answer is, remember who you are. I am a new creation in Christ. That old me is dead and buried and done away with at the cross. It's not who I am. And be true to that identity. Or look with me at verse 15. God, who is holy, has called us. Now, it's just always wonderful, isn't it, when you think about God's calling us. The scriptures have so much to say to us about God's call. The Lord saves us by calling us. He speaks into us. He speaks to us. He summons us. He powerfully, he effectually, through the Holy Spirit, calls us out of sin and death. And his voice raises us up out of who and what we were, dead in sin. And it calls us into new life. God, who can call the things that do not exist into being, calls into being in us a new righteous creation. And I think when the scriptures speak about God's effectual call that has burst into our lives, I think one of the things that the scriptures are emphasizing are his grace. If it's by God's calling, it means God saves. It's not because of anything in us. We were dead in the grave. We could not revive ourselves or save ourselves in any way. But it's coming out of his mercy. It's like when the Lord calls four-day dead Lazarus out of the tomb. Lazarus is not going to pick himself up and walk out of there, but there is such a power in that call of the voice of God that when he says, come out, he comes out. And so in the gospel, the Holy Spirit effectually calls us. And we are raised up. And you might know there's that wonderful chapter in the Westminster Confession, chapter 10, about God's call. I'll read to you just a little bit. All those whom God hath predestinated unto life, and those only, he is pleased in his appointed and accepted time, effectually to call by his word and spirit, out of that state of sin and death in which they are by nature, to grace and salvation, by Jesus Christ, enlightening their minds, spiritually and savingly, to understand the things of God, taking away their heart of stone and giving unto them a heart of flesh, renewing their wills, and by his almighty power, determining them to that which is good, and effectually drawing them to Jesus Christ. Yet so as they come most freely, being made willing by his grace. This effectual call is of God's free and special grace alone, not from anything at all foreseen in man, who is altogether passive therein, until, being quickened and renewed by the Holy Spirit, he is thereby enabled to answer this call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it. There's so much wonderful truth in that. That's just magnificent, isn't it? But it's by God's grace and for God's glory that this call has come into our lives. And so not only his grace, but I think when the scriptures speak about God's call, it's also emphasizing his personal love for us as his elect children. And I say that because think of what the Lord says in John 10 when he speaks about being the good shepherd. And he says that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And I know that there's a metaphor there that the Lord is using, and we have to be careful how far you take that. But I think it's a really wonderful picture of how I think you can say the Lord knew your name, saint. And at that appointed time, the good shepherd called you. And now he knows you, and you're following him into that good sheepfold of the kingdom of God. So it's a wonderful thought of his, the Lord's personal knowledge of each of us and his love for us. But again, it's because of this wondrous thing God has done. Having been called, you therefore be holy in all your conduct. And so again, when troubles come and we feel overwhelmed, we must preach to ourselves the truth. We must believe the truth. I am the called of God. I am on this upward call to the glories above. And if God has spoken it, then who can stop it? And then it is there as well in verse 16, but these words, be holy for I am holy, I think they are so huge. I mean, this is everything. To me, this is the very heart of Christianity, isn't it? So there's so much to say about that. I think we must return to it, the Lord willing, next week. But you see there again, just this, the same thread we can follow. Because you are now God's, his covenant people, his set apart people, bound to him. You are now his child in love, so must resemble him. Be holy, because he is holy. And again, here it's speaking about that everlasting union and communion we are now privileged to have with God. That's the heart of this. And since you have this, therefore be holy. So we'll come back to this, but I hope you see how important this is, brothers and sisters, that hope leads to holiness. Treasuring, understanding, remembering, believing all we've been given in Christ is how we find the power to live out the Christian life. Let me pray for us. Our most holy Father in heaven, we praise and worship you, for you are holy. You are the holy, holy, holy one, before whom even the angels must cover their faces. And so, Lord, what can we say when you have shown such grace to us? We thank you for not punishing us as our sins deserve, but for showing us great mercy, the glory of your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, for calling us to be your children, for giving us a new nature as your children, a new heart that delights to do your will, following the example of our Saviour. And Lord, we thank you for our great hope and calling that we should be holy. And so we do pray, Lord, that you would help us not to rely on ourselves, but always to rely on your grace. And we ask that you would help us, Lord, to live as you have made us to be, to remember who we are in Christ. Help us, please, Lord, to live that out in all our conduct tomorrow. And indeed, Lord, every day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.